if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to start with the only clear command in the Scripture to study the Scripture. Now, I say clear, there are covert, you could say, or implied commands to study the Scripture, but this is an outward command, explicit command to study the Scriptures. I find it interesting that in other false Bibles, this has been taken out. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. In false versions of the Bible, the command has actually been removed. The only explicit command to study Scripture has been taken out of the Scripture. Isn't that interesting? That is the devil's hand. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Paul, giving this young preacher, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. There's the command. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Still talking about him as a man, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then he tells him what he's supposed to study. Rightly dividing the word of truth. In our modern culture, the God that they are proposing is a God that never divides. God always unites. He's such a uniting God. And God wants to unite, but his biggest concern is whether man is united to him. He's not as concerned about man uniting to man, because man cannot unite to man if they don't know God. Men are sinners, and nations are sinners. It is the Word of God that teaches that man, that God actually divides. It starts from the very first chapter of the Bible. He divided the light from the day. He divided the night from the day and the light from the darkness. God divides. And so the reason why is you've got to be able to, if you've ever studied any subject, if you've ever looked at, if you've spent time in the lab, if you're a gardener, there are things you have to sit on one side. This goes here. They don't mix. If we mix them, bad things happen. There are times where God says, this needs to go over here and this needs to go over there. Why is that important? Because God's word is laid out differently than I would lay it out. It's different than I would lay it out. You and I would lay it out probably in a different way than is laid out. But in this series, we're going to study how it is panoramically laid out, the wide view of the Scriptures. We're going to look to see if we could take some of these pieces and put them in their place so that we know, okay, it goes here, it goes there, and then this is how it fits together. So what are you going to learn? I'll tell you what you're going to learn. You're going to learn a lot. But first of all, you're going to learn this. We're talking about this today. We're going to learn about the Bible, the whole Bible, summarized in just three key words. Wouldn't that be cool if you could just look at three words and you know what the content of the Bible is all about? That's what we're going to give in this lesson today, the Bible in three words. You're also going to learn the Bible summarized in eight words. Bible summarized in eight words. We'll talk about that next week. We're going to learn the entire Old Testament in one paragraph. You're going to be so smart. You're going to be able to give the entire Old Testament in one paragraph. No, a summarization of it. What is it about? We're also going to learn how to draw your own map of the Bible lands. Why is that important? Well, I have a sister in Africa today. They've been missionaries there for almost 25 years. And my brother-in-law and sister there, they'll find themselves going off into a village to help. They do a lot of medical things. And they help work with the Muslims as well and sports and stuff. But my sister, I've been with her in the villages in Africa. And you go in there and there's hardly electricity. It's wild. They have hardly any electricity, but they have a cell phone. It's very strange how technology took over the world. But they have a little generator that can power their cell phone. And you're riding down the middle of nowhere, and there's a kid out on the phone. You talk about an advertisement for for Motorola or whatever, for Apple. There they are, and it's because low power and the technology is there. But what's interesting is my sister, I have another sister that was 15 years as a missionary's wife in Papua New Guinea. When you go up in the villages, you don't have all the technology, you don't have all the connections. So sometimes you have to take some sticks and make an object lesson, or take a piece of paper and draw an object lesson. You never know when you might need it. If you're a dad I think it'd be cool if you could draw your own map of the Bible lands, and say, now over here is where Jesus came. Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be neat thing, your grandchildren. So we're going to teach you how to draw. It's a simple little story on how to draw your own map of the Bible. Also, a three-word theme and a short, and this is what the majority of our lesson is going to be in throughout the week series, a three-word theme and a short synopsis of all the books of the Old Testament. Okay, so, and we're going to work on those every day. We're going to drill. Okay, so when you get done, you're going to have a three-word theme for every book of the Old Testament. You say, how are we going to do that? Rome wasn't built in a day. It was built in two. We're going to do it in 2 days. No, we're going to spend some time and at each lesson, and we'll spend a little review time. And it is Sunday school, right? So we're going to learn. So here's my overview of what I'm endeavoring to teach in this. Now, I'm only right now planning on teaching the Old Testament, and we'll take a break and come back to the New Testament later. But there'll be enough for us to handle on the first Old Testament. And then we're also going to look at how those books fit into the storyline of the Bible. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible is not written in chronological order. It's not in chronological order. What else is interesting is you got to realize that most of this book is referencing a particular nation. And it's not America. And it's not England. And it's not any other country. It's not France. It's not Germany. It deals primarily with Israel. In fact, the Old Testament almost all to Israel. And because God, that's God's people. Now, we have been grafted in as Gentiles, but He really, really, really loves His people. In so much that he is bringing them back one day and is going to fulfill the promises that He made to them. And that's exciting. And so why is that important? Because we look at the Bible and we want to say, it should be written this way. I want it written this way. And you got two things. One, you have a God who thinks differently than us. Okay? Here's how we think. We think this way. This happened on this date, and this happened on this date. And this is how we study history. And this has happened on this date. Do you know how God thinks about history? By the way, the authors of the Old Testament are also Jewish. Do you know how the Jewish mind thinks? Secular. They don't think linearly. What does that mean? If you study Genesis, you're going to find a Garden of Eden. If you study Revelation, you're going to find a garden. You're going to see a tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're going to see a tree that heals the nations. The thing that has been shall be. It's a wild thing. It's really crazy, but that's how God thinks. He thinks this way. We think this way. And so the Bible's not put together like this. It's put together topically. And we'll show you that here in a little bit. Okay, you got your notes ready? To a lot of believers, the Bible is like some giant jigsaw puzzle. You come to church on a Sunday and you get a little sliver of that puzzle. And we never actually see the entire picture. We just get pieces. And that's often why people are confused. Often people don't stay long enough to learn their Bible. They get pieces, and I'm talking about people get newly saved, and they get excited, they come to church, but they don't stay long enough to learn how the Bible fits together. And sometimes even churches are guilty of not teaching people how the Bible fits together. Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto who? So a Bible student should be primarily concerned with whom? With God. We should be concerned about what God thinks about our work. It says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Studying the word of God is hard work. That's why there's a command. Study. It's not easy. It's not going to come to you in an easy way. So we get these pieces, and we don't quite see how they all fit together. We think, okay, man, so those two, those are ears. Those got to be ears. Are those ears? Yeah. Now, is that a tail? That's a tail. And we'll come Sunday morning and we'll grab a little piece over here. We'll come Sunday night or a Wednesday night and we'll grab this little piece over here. And if we're not engaged ourselves, or if we don't have a Bible teacher that tries to tie these things together, then we're confused. And what ends up happening, I'll make a statement. Almost all false doctrine comes from taking verses out of their context. Almost all false religions come from taking the Bible out of context. You know what that means? Someone lifted that sliver, that little puzzle piece, out of the puzzle and took that puzzle piece. And now they can make that puzzle piece be anything. And there's where false religion starts. Hey, young people, be careful of what you... Someone comes down and says, emphatically, this is this. You go to school and they tell you, there are no absolutes. Time out. Is that an absolute statement? It is. You go to school, they say, there are no absolutes. You can't trust the Bible. There's no absolute truth. Well, I got a question. Do you trust the person that's saying that? Because they're saying that based on their opinion alone. Well, we have this and we have that. Well, there are absolutes. Thank God there are absolutes. We're trusting some absolutes right now with the electricity that's in the ceiling. There are some predictable things. There are truths that are unbendable, unbreakable. So when you're studying the Word of God, be careful about grabbing little puzzle pieces and not seeing where they fit. Write this in or take a note of this. What happens in our Christian life is we become professional collectors of Bible pieces. Chicken soup for the soul, Christians. We have a little bit of, I read this verse over here and it just speaks to me. And I read this verse over here and it just speaks to me. And sometimes we take those verses and if you ever look them up, how many have ever quoted a verse wrong for years? And then I look it up and you're going, that is not what the Bible says. Man, I've missed that one. Sometimes you look at a Bible verse and you think, I can take that and apply it to me. And all of a sudden, I'm getting myself in trouble. And those who have a personal walk with the Lord, they get more pieces daily. If they walk in the Word of God, they're getting more pieces. And they know, they start to collect. They're kind of puzzle piece collectors. But often they struggle, we all do, with how do those things fit together, and it kind of becomes a little frustrating. So I've got this piece of a tail, I've got this piece of some ears, and then I have this, it looks like something from Star Wars. Mmm. What is that? I don't, is it, okay, that's the eyes, that's the mouth. I don't know where this goes. What? Ah, man, Nahum. What in the world, Nahum? Skip. Okay, Micah, I think Micah was useful in Jesus' life. How does that, I don't understand, skip, right? Because we're like, I don't know what to do with this piece. I'm going to put it in that one drawer. How many have that drawer where everything goes? Ladies, please don't do this to us husbands. If you chalk a drawer full of stuff, junk, and then ask us to go find something there, this is a hard thing for us. We struggle. So if and please don't ask us to get things out of your purse. That's called the bottomless pit. I've been impaled in my wife's purse before. That's just a side note. But okay, that junk drawer you have, that's where we take our Bible pieces we don't understand. And we put them in that drawer and we slide them, and then we're like, one day, I'm going to use that. The goal of this series is for you to kind of, you may not finish the puzzle, but you can start seeing, or at least have the box to reference. Does that make sense? Okay, let me show you. Is this Noah's Ark? It could be. See, this is a great illustration of how a text without its context becomes a pretext. You ever heard that before? A text without its context becomes a pretext. Meaning, well, that obviously is a camel. All of God's people know that's a camel, right? How many think that's a camel? Okay. What do you think it is? It looks, I mean, if you look at it this way, it could be a dinosaur with that head thing, you know? You know what we're doing right now? We're making up a pretext. We're saying, I believe that that is this, and so I'm going to put it down on the puzzle piece like I believe it is. Right? So, for instance, we talked, I think, Wednesday night. Great study Wednesday night about our purpose, why we're here. And we said our main purpose of being here is what, church? To please and glorify God, right? Revelation 4:11. That's why we're here. That's why we were created. People come to the Bible, they come to Christianity with their reason. God wants me to be happy, so that's why God created me. Or God wants me to have a successful family, and that's why. So I'm looking for that. Or God wants me to have a life without any pain or heartache, and so I'm looking for that. God wants me to have children that are never rebel, and so we're going to make sure they never rebel. We come to the Bible, we come to Christianity with our own pretext of what we think God wants us to should do, and then we apply it to the Bible. That's called taking it out of context. So stay with us. Here we go. We're going to look at two things. This is really helpful. So first of all, there are two ways to study, two approaches. One is called biblical or Bible synthesis. All right? Synthesis. It means to see the big picture. It's kind of a Greek word. Synthesis is, means to put together, to intertwine, to put together. Some of you from the 80s, you remember the synthesizers? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We could put together all kinds of sounds that did not belong together. But we got, my wife got a Casio for Christmas one time as a kid. Anybody remember what these are? Those little keyboards? And she got this synthesizer. You know, and she's going to play Christian music, of course. And she loved that thing, synthesizing to put things together. So the first approach to Bible scripture and Bible study is what, church? Synthesis. This is the next one, and that is analysis. So you'll notice on the left side, you can see what? Some really, 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 really big trees in the picture, okay? Or bushes. Those things need to be cut back. Those are huge, huge bushes in this left picture. But notice on that top left quadrant, there's a, I think that's a farmer. I think it is. I know it's a farm because I'm looking at the rows. They're even. Someone's planted that. And so my assumption is that that's a farmer. So I look at it, and I'm trying to put this whole thing together, right? This is the puzzle piece box on the left side. This is the outside of the box. And that's what I'm looking for. The Bible analysis is, oh, that is a farmer. He's hoeing four rows. Right? I'm looking at one spot of the picture. That on the right is the puzzle piece. Okay? Does this make sense? So synthesis is the outside of the box. Analysis is the one puzzle piece. This is really good. There is something in synthesis, there's something exciting about flying high over the land. There is something about perspective. I love flying at sunset or sunrise, because the sun gives dimension. And you can see shadows, and you've seen some of those pictures where the shadows on sand and people, it looks totally different. How many have ever seen the Planet Earth series? Blue Earth, Planet Earth, that's incredible. Incredible stuff. They're usually trying to prove evolution. I just sit there and I see God the entire time. It's incredible. But they'll show those animals going across the desert with their shadow, right? And it looks weird, but it's like a different animal when it's a shadow. If perspective is different when you're higher, right? You look bigger the lower I go. The higher I go, the smaller you look. Perspective. When I look at the Bible, I like to do a flyover. I want to see what the big picture is. Now, analysis is landing down on the ground and digging in deeply into that spot. I got a question. Which way is better? Synthesis or analysis? Which one's the better approach? There it is. Why was it hard? Because you're going, I see value in synthesis. But some of us that are more detailed, oh, analysis. Right? It's a great picture of human life. If you focus on this, you don't see this. If you focus on this, you don't see this. So it's a constant back and forth. God wants you to do both. Okay? And in Bible study, you have to do both. So here's a good question. Imagine if you're going to Jerusalem for the first time, which I've never been, but one day. Hopefully not in a, in the news or something. I'll go there purposely, okay? But you know that the next time, imagine going for the first time and knowing that you really know nothing, next to nothing, about the new part of the city or the old part of the city. A pastor that I worked with for 10 years, and by God's grace, I think he's going to be with us in February. I'm excited about that. Our first guest speaker will be the pastor, Walt Shepherd. I think you'll really enjoy him. He's a blessing. He's been to Israel 20 times, at least. And he goes often with the IDF, Israel Defense Force, and he gets on the front lines, and he's crazy. He's been in places that no one else is allowed to be because he's had generals take him in there. Maybe he'll tell us some stuff about that. But I've never been, and this is the tourist view, right? There's the tourist bus. But if you went there for the first time, you're given some options. If you were to come for the first time, you got two options. First of all, you could take your own tour. Raise your hand. You'd like that. Just me? What? Come on. Is there any adventurous people out there? Some Tom Cruise type of people? Like, let's go see this thing. Okay. Morgan, you? Is that what you? Okay. I'm kind of like that. And the reason is I know I'm going to see what's ever on the stinking brochure. I want to see stuff that no one else has seen. Okay? That's cool. I want to go in there and be like, man, I bet I know what that. Yep, Jacob sat on that bench. Oh, made in 1958. Stink. I want to make up stuff. I want to explore it. But if you had the option to go to Israel, and on that first trip you could take your own tour, or you could have a two-hour overview and orientation of the old and new city, and then go on a tour. How many like that? That's me. See how? Why? You don't know what you're doing. You know that's a pretty little dome there. You know that if you're Jewish and you go up there, you're in trouble. That's owned by the Palestinians, okay? The Muslims, they own that right there. They don't, by the way. They've claimed it. They don't own it. That's Israel's land. That's God's land right there. But I've seen this picture. I've seen some cool pictures. I would love, but a two-hour overview would make my trip so much more profitable. The first option might look attractive if you're an adventurer because you're going to have more sightseeing time if you hit the road and you're running. But the second is far more profitable because it's going to highlight the most important sites. I thought the bench was from Jacob. It's not. It was made in China. Okay? It's not something historic. No matter what I think, it's not something historic. You need a guide. You need someone that can tell you where what the markers mean, what the signs mean, maybe even translate some things for you. So if you have a good map in your hand or even in your head, then it's going to be a shorter time and your time is going to be more valuable. That's what this series is about. I open the Bible and I learn something. This is a great little visual I'm going to show you. This is seven logical levels of study. You want to write this down? I didn't put it in your notes, but if you'd like to. And this is really cool. So here, everyone does things differently and it's kind of how your mind works, but this is how my mind works. I like the bottom part of the pyramid. Okay, that's just me. I was able to work with a pastor who was a land surveyor before he went in the ministry, and he said, I was always taught when we're making maps to find true north, right? So that's the bottom of the pyramid. What does the whole thing say? When I know where true north is, then I know how anything else applies to true north. Okay, so I like to study this way. You go from the whole Bible to the Testament. By the way, people say, rightly dividing, well, you have to start with an Old and New Testament, right? God divides it. So you have an Old and New Testament, then it's divided more into books, to chapters, to paragraph, to word, a sentence, and then word. If you go up, you're analyzing more. As you go down, you're synthesizing more. That's a pretty cool chart. Let me ask you a question. Just look at that chart for real quick. Where do you naturally start when you look at the Bible? Anybody? Where's that, Brother Chris? The book? The book, okay. A chapter? Anybody else? This is your natural bent.
Old Testament.
You start at the Old Testament and then move. Oh, cool. Wow, cool. It's like an Old Testament in the One Testament. Okay, so here's just a challenge for you after this lesson today. Change how you study the Bible, and all of a sudden you'll learn more. Simple. Take that little chart right there. Say, I usually go to a book, back up to the New Testament, Old Testament. Or move up in the pyramid and study a chapter. Move up and study a paragraph. Move up. I know some people love word studies. It would help them every once in a while to back up and look at a chapter and see how it fits. Look at a book and see how it fits. Right? So how many have ever had someone take what you said out of context? Did you like it? Did you know God does not like that either? And he actually held prophets to sentence of death if they said things that he didn't say. They could be stoned for giving false prophecy. Okay, so God takes this thing of quote me correctly pretty seriously. So I want to be a workman that needeth not be. There's something going on at the judgment seat of Christ for those that don't study the word of God right. I don't know what it is. The Bible tells us that we would not be ashamed at his appearing. There, by the way, people say we've been saved and we're fine. No, there are judgments. There is a reward and there is loss as a Christian. So I just don't want to be ashamed. I want to have a big smile on God's face. You didn't know everything. You maybe didn't master all these levels, but you did your best. I want to show you the importance. Here we go. A place, what it does is it helps you to put a place or put those puzzle pieces in a spot. Oh, that's where this fits. It makes you a little more ease with the Bible. I don't know about you, but I can get pretty intimidated at times with the Bible. And there's always someone out there that has a passage that you, oh, I don't know what that means. And I don't think I can. Look, you don't have to be a master, but you do have to be a student. And you'll never stop being one. It'll give you a better perspective of what's going on in America, what's going on in the world, what's going on with Hurricane Hillary. They give you a perspective on it when you know the Bible. It'll give you a clear focus on confidence and what God will do in the future. It'll shore up your feet, make you not so scared, help you to have a little more confidence. So notice the context. Do you see our puzzle pieces now?
Yeah.
And it is a camel. It is a camel. He's got a little problem with the back of his head, but he is there. No, I see. Okay, there it is. So it is a camel. How many thought it was Noah's Ark? Nobody. Did you imagine it to be this? A manger scene? So that's called synthesis. And if you stare at the puzzle piece and the ears, and that's what happens. As Christians, we'll come forward, we'll come to church, and we'll come, and we'll listen, and we'll go home, and we're like, that was a great message, but what do I do with it? Where do I put it? Now, a good preacher, a good teacher will help you apply it. But you know that you and I, as individuals, Paul said to Timothy at one time, he said, let no man despise that youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Everyone is to be an example of a believer and a student, and this is helps us to take things home. Look, here, this is really cool, and we're almost done. I'm going to show you two things. You want to know how many books are in the Bible? Have you ever heard of things called a mnemonic tool? Mnemonic tool, not pneumatic, that's pretty awesome, but a mnemonic tool. You know what that is? Mnemonic tool? Let me give you a definition, and then I'll give you an illustration of it. A mnemonic tool is the process or technique of improving or developing the memory. All right, so an acronym. Brother Chris, let's see if Brother Chris knows this. The acronym BRASS. What does it stand for? BRASS. No? You know what? Okay. It's breathe, relax, aim, sight, squeeze. Bam. That's a mnemonic tool. Breathe, relax, aim, sight, squeeze. Musicians. Every good boy does fine. Stands for? On what staff? The treble clef, right? The treble clef staff. Every good boy does fine is that acronym teach you E, G, B, D, F, right? That's a mnemonic tool. There's a mnemonic tool that Jesus used in his childhood that he quoted in his ministry. Most likely he learned, I can't prove that he learned in his childhood, but he quoted it, so most likely it was back in his mind. It was a mnemonic tool, I'll give you another hint, a mnemonic tool that sailors used. Anybody? A mnemonic tool that sailors used. Jesus quoted it at one point. You're close. She's on clouds. What's the sailor's close? There's a sailor saying about the sky.
If it turns red, darn, it's going to be a trouble.
What is it? Red sky at night, sailors. Red sky in the morning, sailors. Take warning. Do you know Jesus used that? He says, "You study the sky, and it will be red and lowering, and you can, but you can't determine the signs of the times." So Jesus knew a mnemonic tool in his own culture that we still use today, which is pretty cool, proving that the Bible is still legitimate, amen. But basically, sailors would look at the sky. If it was red in the morning, sailors take warning. If it was red at night, sailors delight. It's going to be a great day. That's a mnemonic tool, okay? Here's a mnemonic tool for you to learn the books of the Bible. How many letters are in the word Old? How many letters are in the word Testament? Add those two together. How many letters are in the word New? How many letters in the word Testament? Times it. You'll never forget how many books are in the Old Testament and how many books are the New. Isn't that cool? And there's how many total? Yeah, there is. Let's move on. I'll show you another one. Let's look at the three-word theme of the Bible when we're done. Here it is. Write it in. History, experience books, and prophecy. This is a really cool chart in my mind. On the left side is the Old Testament, 17 history books. On the left side, there are 5 experience books. There are 17 prophecy books. On the right side, there's 5 history books. In the New Testament, there are 21 experience books and 1 prophecy book. Now, you notice how we've circled these to show that the top Old Testament, New Testament history books equal how many? 22. On the left side, you see experience prophecy books in the Old Testament are 22. And the same is true in the New Testament. It's all just been made up. I'm being facetious. Do you think a creator that spoke the world into existence could put a Bible together that made sense? Oh, yeah. In fact, it baffles men's minds, this Bible. This is just a little tiny thing. We're digging in. So I say to people, I want to help you learn the Bible. Help you. Amen. As they say in the South, I want to help you this morning. History, experience, prophecy. That's the 3 major topics of the entire Bible. Those books are laid out that way. Isn't that pretty cool? Now, I'm going to show you one more. Hold up your Bible. We did this the other day. Hold up your Bible. This is another mnemonic tool, an aid in memorization or an aid in memory. If you take Genesis and put Genesis through Esther in your left hand, and then take Job through Malachi in your right hand, you're going to learn something if you've never seen this that'll really stretch your mind. Okay, you're going to look differently at the Old Testament from now on. Genesis through Esther in your left hand. Job through Malachi in your right hand. You got it? Now, everybody's Bible feels differently, you know, how big your pages are. I have a wide margin, so a little thicker. But if you grab that, now, see this? This is Genesis to Esther. This is Job to Malachi. All right. Everything in your right hand happened within the timeline of your left hand. I'm going to let that sink in. If that's the first time you heard it, you're going, no, it's not true. Those ears are donkey ears. No, it was a dog's ears. In the puzzle piece, it was a dog's ear, not donkey. I thought it was donkey. Dog's ears. Okay, cool, isn't it? Everything in your left hand, everything in your right hand happened in your left hand. In the time of your left hand. That's crazy. You see the book of Psalms? Yeah. You see Malachi? Malachi happened before Esther, yes. Written before Esther. Now, the content of these books goes from the beginning of time, where there was no beginning, where God was, all the way to the end of time, where there is no time, where God is. By the way, he's called the I Am. He never was. He always is. Okay? So, the Bible content covers back there, and by the way, Psalms actually, the book of Psalms alone, covers all the way back there, the creation, all the way to the return of the king. It's an amazing book. That's the content. So there are so many things. I'm not going to give it to you. I wrote it at the back of it. I'm not going to read it. We'll cover it next week on the actual unity that God gives. It's an incredible thing. I already said this. I'm going to scoot on through here. I gave you a handout. Take that home and study that. What I just showed you was that you'll see the silent years here. You have that on your handout? That is where I showed you Esther ended. And notice all the books that are slashed and this way, that way. We'll look at those. But you got all the dark colored books at the top. That's the timeline, storyline of the Bible. That's when action is taking place, when things are moving. And everything else that comes under that happens in that timeline. Notice Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. You got Acts. Acts is that one history book in the New Testament. The rest there are experience. The very last one is Revelation, and that is the one prophecy book of the New Testament. That little chart right there, if you have a Bible reading plan, put that right in the middle of your Bible reading plan. If you have a bookmark where you're reading your Bible, put it right there. And when you go to read a book, check this chart. Very cool. I think that'll help you just alone. That little chart right there will help you. Bring it, if you could, bring it back with you each week, because we're going to show you that and reference it a few times. There's so many things that God wants to show his people. And the Bible says that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. It's settled. It's not changing. God knows exactly what he said and what he wanted to say. And we don't have to change this. We just need to read it and be changed by it. You're going to learn, I think, a lot in this morning series. So let's pray. We'll go into the next service. Father, thank you for your people being here today. Thank you so much for your word and how it speaks to us. Most importantly, Lord, may we line up with it. May we follow it. And may we obey you the best of our ability. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.